broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use. No doubt continues. This is the broadcast for January the 14th in the year of our Lord 2020. Promoting God, family, and country, and protecting life, liberty, and property is what we do best. New media taking center stage. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Got our buddy Alan Phillips with us, vaccinerights.com. Welcome back, sir.
Pleasure to be back with you, Sam.
Man, we've got so many things to talk about. A lot of them don't have to do with vaccines, but a few do. But we want Alan Phillips' take on a lot of different things. Let's talk about EPA employees, Kurt.
Very good, Sam. Yep, looks like the headline reads, the EPA employees are getting a few extra bucks, Sam. They say they're getting extra time off. They awarded them more than 355,000 hours off through 2015 through 2017. The EPA is circumventing rules they say meant to provide oversight of performance bonuses by adding vacation days to cash awards, according to an audit. The news site Government Executive reports the rules require that bonuses of more than $5,000 a year be approved by senior officials, so those mid-level managers simply handed out $5,000 bonuses, and then added vacation days. The Government Executive report said the EPA awarded more than 355,000 hours off to employees. That was in between 2015 and 2017, the equivalent of 170 full-time positions and nearly $20 million
worth. But, Kurt,
yes.
No one's going to jail for the intentional manipulation of the circumventing of the law there, sir. They'll probably get a reward and an award, don't you think?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm. But part of me is kind of grateful when government bureaucrats have time off, if you will. Sam, I mean.
Yeah, because at least they can rape your wallet, but they won't cause any damage while they're doing so.
Yeah.
I get it.
All
right.
Additional.
What do you say, Alan? It's nuts on parade, sir.
Oh, that's a new one for me, Sam. I wasn't aware of that. And It's crazy.
Hey, did you hear about the lady that was on Family Feud and they were asking about the, favorite food for a character, and the lady yelled Popeyes and she was wrong, and they said wrong answer on Family Feud and she lost $10,000.
Well, she yelled chicken.
All right.
Well, because they asked what was Popeye's favorite food and she yelled chicken. Instead of spinach.
And then the bottom line is she got confused because she was under the gun, and then basically they said wrong answer, and she lost $10,000, and then Popeyes tweeted out and said correct answer. And then they gave her $10,000 of food.
Oh, wow.
So that's what you got in the private sector while the government is giving people all kinds of time off and stuff like that. EP employees getting millions of dollars in extra time off. I don't know why we have so many EPA employees in the first place. It's an unconstitutional government agency is what I would say. What do you think of that, Kurt? Flat out unconstitutional.
Couldn't agree more.
You can say, Sam, it's necessary. We got to take care of the environment, don't we?
No, I
understand, but you still can't argue the point. It is unconstitutional. There is no authority for such an agency to exist.
You'll have a real... You probably just have to read between the lines there in the Constitution, Sam.
Yes, you do. And what you'll read is you'll read chicken between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they're chicken to confront the truth is what's really going on. All right, scientists are chicken too, Kurt, but maybe a couple of them have boldly stepped into what... the darkness
no
of reality?
Ever
or what?
Gone before.
You know, yeah, no one's ever gone there, that's for sure.
This is one scientist, and it says, scientist explodes what millions believe. Quote, there was no Big Bang. It says, is everything what experts claim about our origins, about the change? And by the way, they say the Big Bang Theory has been a staple in the scientific community for a long time. holds about, they say that about 13.8 billion years ago, the universe swelled from a size smaller than an electron to nearly its current size. Man, you got to be some kind
of... Nothing like spontaneous believer. Swelling, my friends. So this scientist is saying, hey, the Big Bang Theory never was. We don't have any proof of that at all, and rejecting the standard view that everybody believes about the Big Bang Theory and stuff like that. What do you say to that, Alan?
My favorite one was a physicist, and this was some time ago, so I don't remember who it was, but a physicist who said something to the effect of, if you'll just give us that one thing, the Big Bang, we can explain everything else from there. You know, so admitting that even if there was this origin point of a Big Bang, where did that come from? So it was kind of like, you know, there's just... It just doesn't answer anything. And the key word there is the word theory. The Big Bang Theory has always been exactly that, a theory. There's, and as I understand it, I'm not an astronomer or a physicist, but as I understand it, they're looking at the expansion of the universe, which there's physical evidence for this idea that the universe is expanding. And so they just sort of reversed that and said, well, at the current rate of expansion, how did that start? And so in theory, if you wind that backwards, you end up with this infinitesimally small point that exploded into this massive universe.
Yeah, but it defies the very scientific method that they're supposedly, you know, claiming that this theory is a fact, though. In other words, they kind of breach this line, and if you challenge it, they say you're a heretic.
You know, there's we've made incredible advances in science generally, particularly in astronomy and physics in the last century or so, but at the end of the day, there's so much more that we don't know, and I have to sort of laugh. I don't mean any disrespect for scientists, to many of whom are much more brilliant than I am, and especially in their areas of expertise, but for example, based on what we can see in the physical universe, there is this huge, the equations don't add up. And so the way they solve that, quote unquote, solve that is, well, we'll just make up something called dark matter and something else called dark energy that must be out there, because if they're out there, we don't see it. We don't have any tangible evidence for it.
But can I stop you right there and tell you that I'm more brilliant than all those talking heads? You want to know why?
Go for it.
Because I'm willing to admit the truth. I'm willing to say when we don't know. I'm willing to tell you when we do know. And I'm willing to measure every, quote, theory against the scientific method and say it's flat out not proven yet. And if they're not willing to admit that reality truth, they're not scientists. They're nothing but faux thugs. Perpetuating a theory is a lie. And if I go against it, they act like I know nothing. That is the height of hypocrisy, sir.
Well, I'm not so sure it's scientists, at least collectively, who do that. I think it's more, many times, more media who interprets it, or maybe some scientists.
Well, you got one guy challenging this narrative openly right now.
Well, maybe one person challenging it openly, but there is not a consensus within the scientific community that the Big Bang Theory is fact. It is recognized among scientists as a theory, and there are physicists out there who don't agree with it. Whether any of them are doing that publicly is a separate question. But just to finish the thought for your listeners, they invented these concepts called dark matter and dark energy, because if they pretend that it exists, then the equations make sense. So, you know, based on the movement of the physical objects we can see, stars, galaxies, etc., the universe, the observable mass does not correlate with the behavior of matter in the universe. And so the only way they can have it make sense is to make something up to fill in the blank, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean what they made up isn't true. What it means, though, is that it's a theory and they haven't proven it yet. But then people talk about dark matter as though it's a proven thing and it's a reality.
And that's where the lie starts, right?
Right, right.
So, because on one hand, they're admitting what you're saying. On the other hand, though, they're eclipsing it with this idea.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that scientists collectively are, you know, en masse are asserting theory as fact, but wherever that does happen, it may be some scientists do that just to sort of dumb it down and make it.
Yeah, I know it's all over colleges, and I know that's the common theory, and if you go against it, they kind of act like you're ignorant. If I say there is a God or whatever else, they say, well, you have no proof and you're ignorant. And then I come back and say, well, you have no proof and you guys are ignorant. And they're like, what are you talking about? We say it's a theory, but at the same time, we're going to double down and tell you about this dark matter stuff. And in the end, they have no more surety at all whatsoever. But they pretend as though they do.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, Sam. I don't know if it's human nature or if it's more a product of, and I mean this in the most respectful way, the egos of highly credentialed people.
Well, and that's what I mean. If you've got such an ego you can't admit the truth, you're nothing but a bumbling idiot.
People are not comfortable not having things figured out. It's difficult for most people. I think this is true of scientists and lay people alike, Sam, and this is where I really admire you once again for the comment you made just a few minutes ago. I'm willing to say, I heard you say, when I don't know something. And you know how many people on our planet are not comfortable admitting, being able to say, I don't know about something. We have in a whole industries around pretending or creating certainty in an inherently uncertain future. It's called insurance, you know. And so, and I'm not saying insurance is a bad thing, but my point is we are very uncomfortable with unknowns and admitting that there are things we don't know or aren't in control of or what have you.
Good point. Like, what's the difference in insurance and gambling?
Well.
All right. By the way, is the Earth flat?
Not where I live.
Hey, man, I just want to know, is the Earth flat, Kurt?
We'll have to take the fifth.
All right. Y'all going to prove it on the other side. Sam and Kurt, got Alan Phillips with us. Hard-hitting talk radio, Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Let me just explain something to you folks. You know, we've been able to see photos of the Earth for over 50 years. Everybody knows it's round. Even a kid can prove it's round, for crying out loud. But you know what? Hey. Is the globe theory? Is it a theory? Is the Earth flat like a disc? Is that a theory? Or do we have scientific proof there now? Can the Earth be round, be applied to scientific method muster, Alan?
Boy, there's so many exciting things I want to respond to with that topic. Let me give you one quick piece.
All I know is the man's in the moon. I'm just telling you right now.
There's actually a branch of science called scientometrics, and it's referred to as the science of science. And what we know from the field of scientometrics is that proven any body or branch of science, any body of facts with any branch of science, has what's known, what they call a half-life. And it's a real similar concept to the idea of a half-life. You got a piece of plutonium, and we know over so many, whatever it is, million years, half of the molecules in there, the radiation and so forth, will degrade. And we don't know exactly which molecules specifically are going to, but we know that over X period of time, half of them will. The exact same thing actually applies to bodies of scientific facts, that over a certain period of time, and it's a different half-life number of years for different branches of science, but we know that in any given branch of science, half of the what are considered irrefutable permanent facts will either be flat out proven wrong or proven inaccurate. We don't know which facts, but we know that half of them will within some certain period of time. So I just wanted to throw the concept out there, first of all, that what we consider today as proven, permanent, irrefutable facts in the world of science are not. And, you know, as a somewhat humorous example, there was a joke that they tell first-year med students coming into medical school, which is normally a four-year process. They say, half of what we're going to teach you over the next 4 years is wrong. The problem is we don't know which half. And
ouch, I hate it when that happens. Makes me think everything they ever told me was a lie.
Well, the point is that even the most, what we regard as the most permanent, irrefutable facts are subject to change. Doesn't mean every fact will change, but some of them will, and we don't know which one. So I'll just throw that out there, because the uncertainty inherent in that I find kind of fun. But
And I find it fun. You know, I don't know if the Earth is flat or round, right? And I know somebody would say, well, Sam, you're ignorant. Come on. I mean, to even question such a thing is just ridiculous. In fact, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're crazy. My response is, why go to personal insults if you got the facts on your side?
Okay? Well,
they do that to people that don't believe in vaccines, too, by the way.
Well, you know, the word on the street is that the flat Earth theory is the biggest joke the CIA ever came up with, and the implication being that it was created, manufactured to distract and confuse people. And then you can say, oh, those anti-vaxxers or, you know, pick your topic, are flat earthers. You can equate people that way. But the people who put together the flat Earth theory have really gone to great lengths, because they have a lot of really convincing evidence, which ultimately, from what I've seen, has holes in it. But here's my answer to the flat Earth question, and it's real simple. Haven't heard anybody else say this. You know, Sam, when we were kids or our kids played with bubbles, you pull out the little wand and you blow through it and all the bubbles come out. Why are they all spherical? The reason little bubbles are spherical is because that's the shape that equalizes the pressure on all sides and all around. And there's no force, unless you blow in a bubble, then it'll squish a little bit from the air, but it'll sphere back out again. Physical matter in large quantities, such as asteroids, planets, stars, etc., on the smaller size, you look at asteroids, much smaller than moons and planets, and they're very irregularly shaped. But there's a certain size of mass or matter when, beyond a certain point, the gravity is strong enough because there's enough mass that it all pulls together, and the natural shape there is going to be a sphere. When you look at the amount of mass in the Earth, it is way beyond the point where it would be possible for that to be any shape other than a sphere. And we can have irregularities on the surface, mountains and seas and so forth. But the Earth is so large that if you could take the Earth and reduce it to the size of a billiard ball, it would actually be smoother than the smoothest billiard ball that we have in use today on pool tables. So what looks to us like incredible, massive irregularities, mountains and so forth, which compared to us as humans is, in context, it's actually overall very smooth. And so something, even moons in our solar system of different planets that are much smaller than the Earth are beyond a certain size, are spherical because the amount of mass, the effective gravity when mass is beyond a certain size, it can't hold any other shape. So even let's say if the Earth really is spherical and we had a giant space hammer to flatten out the Earth, you know, just to pound it and flatten it out, you couldn't flatten it out. If something struck the Earth, another planet-sized body, and it squashed it in some way, as opposed to exploding into, you know, billions of pieces or whatever, but somehow squashed it or whatever, the mass would resume a spherical shape.
Understood, and I just find it fascinating that in this day and age we can debate such things, and there can be evidence and theories on both sides to the point where, hey, they want to mock you and say it's a done discussion. And I'm not here really to advocate for the Earth is flat. What I'm here to do at this point, though, is to highlight that even the most basic of things are still debated, and there is theory and evidence on both sides, a lot of it.
There is, and I think we should honor and respect all views. Even though I think it's clear, but the reason that I wouldn't even go to the time to explain to you why I have an opinion on one side of that issue is not to ridicule the people on the other side. I had a flat earther send information to me, and I saw that on its face it was convincing evidence, and I had to think about it and go look up, oh yeah, this is wrong because light diffracts and so forth, and I was able to debunk the assertion. But we have to allow, however crazy it might seem, and people who are convinced by that think that they have an inside scoop on something and the rest of us are crazy. And ultimately, I suppose, who knows? You know, I don't think you can ever be more than 99.9% sure of anything, but feel free to debunk that if you wish. But my point
Point's well taken on that. And that's the point I'm making, is that I don't have any problem with people having a differing opinion on things. What my problem, though, is when they ridicule and they change their arguments from debating facts or so-called science with, you know what, if you don't believe in the Big Bang Theory, you believe in God, you're somehow of a weak mind. Or, you know what, if you believe the world's flat, you are flat out, I don't think we could even let you go to work anymore. I think we got to take your driver's license because you're absolutely flat out crazy. Okay, or did we go to the moon? Okay, some will say, come on, Sam, of course we went to the moon. Others with pretty good evidence will say we never went at all. Well, here's one thing I know is a fact. The Clintons skate again, Kurt.
Good point, Sam. And, you know, I guess it's ice skating season. So, you know, anyway, Larry Klayman gives this zing. You know, he calls it the... cowardly AG after ending of Hillary probe in the political and military turmoil, if not madness over the killing of Iranian terrorist Soleimani. But the bottom line is they say they've looked over everything and Clinton's or Hillary's okay.
Y'all are free to go.
But, yeah.
They say Bill Barr takes another dive. I guess he was the one in charge of that investigation, right, Kurt?
I think so, Sam.
So let me just say this. You know what? The Earth is round. We went to the moon, and Bill Clinton's not guilty there. Hillary Clinton's not guilty there, Alan. So you got to believe in facts now. Now, you're either an earther or you're a birther or you're both. Right? Because many people don't even believe that Barack Obama had a birth certificate, right? Or they believe he had a fake one or whatever, right? But don't worry. They got bigger and more important environmental things going on in California, Kurt. They say first it was your guns.
Good point.
Now California's talking a ban, ladies and gentlemen.
They're going to ban the gas-powered lawn tools now. That's the nanny state of California. They're now considering a ban on gasoline-powered lawn equipment.
And these people are the ones that believe in the Big Bang Theory, don't they, Kurt?
I think so. KOVR is the... news source. State lawmakers are not worried about citizens losing fingers to mower blades, but about the greenhouse gases being emitted from garden tools running on these fossil fuels.
Yeah, so there you go. I'm telling you right now. Let me ask you this. What the heck is fossil fuel? Is that real? Is it really a bunch of oil that all came from dinosaur bones? Are you kidding me right now? Hold on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There are arrests in Iran now for the deadly crash of a Ukrainian jetliner that was mistakenly shot down by an Iranian missile. A spokesman for Iran's judicial system not providing any further details in the announcement. The plane went down last week in Tehran, killing all people on board. President Trump's impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate may now be just a few days away. House Democrats will meet this morning to talk about sending the two articles of impeachment to the Senate, where Republican Senator Mitt Romney of Utah says he would vote in favor of having witnesses after opening statements.
Including Jen Bolton, yes. Yeah. I mean, he's someone who I would like to hear from, and presumably I get the chance to vote for that.
The LSU Tigers are college football champs after routing Clemson 42-25 in New Orleans last night. And this is USA Radio News.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance. And it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Six of the Democratic White House hopefuls will be debating tonight in Iowa, the last debate before the Iowa caucuses. Meanwhile, candidate Joe Biden has received the endorsement of Atlanta's mayor, and she'll be campaigning for him this week, as we hear from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Atlanta Mayor Democrat Keisha Lance Bottoms heading to Iowa Friday to campaign for former Vice President Joe Biden as part of his We Know Joe bus tour. The tour kicking off Tuesday in Sioux City. Biden will visit 20 key Iowa counties.
The British royal family agreeing to make big changes. Queen Elizabeth agreeing to what Buckingham Palace calls a transition period as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle step back as full-time royal family members. In a statement from Buckingham Palace, the Queen says the family had very constructive conversations yesterday, and they are entirely supportive of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, who now want to become more independent. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, I'm not a believer in the Big Bang Theory, ladies and gentlemen, but I have my own theory. It's called the Little Bang Theory. And I'm telling you right now, that's when scientists run up against this we don't know deal, and their heads explode, and they have to either admit there's a God or lie to the people. Yeah, kind of like the Flat Earth Theory, you know, crazy stuff going on. But the explosion in their head just melts them right on down, and they don't know how to handle it. And they just need to have a little bit of credibility and say, you know what, I don't know. Just not sure. I'm not positive on that at all. But first it was your guns. Now California's talking ban on gas-powered lawn tools. By the way, what's a fossil fuel? See, do you really believe, let me just ask you this, Alan Phillips, let me put it to you like this. Do you really believe that fossil fuels, you might say it's bone broth for cars. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, if they're really concerned about greenhouse gases, and you know, what's fascinating is that CO2 is minuscule in its effect compared to water vapor, clouds. That's the big greenhouse gas. But methane, of course, is a greenhouse gas, and I think they should ban all cows because that's where...
Hey, you heard what they're doing in Australia, didn't you?
Are they giving them all Beano so they don't...
No, man, Australia is slaughtering 10,000 camels to combat global warming. They say the flatulence are the problem. Got to just kill them all.
Just give them Beano, and they won't even have to do that. Then they can, you know, keep using them for something else. It's bizarre.
It's insanity, man.
It's bizarre because if they're really doing that, it just seems so tragic. You know, I'm not a vegan or vegetarian, although I wouldn't rule that out as a possibility in the future. But, you know, killing animals needlessly is a tragedy to me. And
we agree, in fact, for sure.
Just in the last couple of days, Sam, I encountered a couple of wonderful videos on YouTube where a gentleman, a scientist, explaining how all of this nonsense got off the ground. And we heard for years, 97% of, you know, scientists agree. Well, you look at the studies that they base that on, and yeah, 97% of 2% of respondents to a survey. Yeah, I mean, that's literal. I didn't make that up. The whole thing has been just so profoundly twisted and distorted by politicians to create a problem that isn't there. And another piece of this, Sam, and this was really interesting to me, I don't remember the label for it, but there is something on the order of about 40 different cycles involving planetary systems and things on the macro level and that all interact to create, in some cases, radical changes in weather patterns on Earth, but they're part of this combination of large number of different cycles and not the result of human activity. You know, does human activity affect weather patterns or climate? Sure, to one degree or another, no doubt, but not in the manner or scale that we've all been led to believe. And what is interesting...
Well, and these people that are perpetuating this are the people that tell you that the Earth is round and we went to the moon, too. You got to trust them now.
And the same people, you know, when you talk about instead of just having a polite disagreement or sharing of information, we have people resorting to ridicule and other things, which are control tactics. When you want to win, whether you're right or wrong, you have to go beyond the merits of your position into other tactics to suppress the other side or control and dominate the situation. And that's what goes on in the world of politics, where science is abused, but we even have scientists who are manipulated by this, and if you try to talk to some scientists about it, they will echo the same techniques that were used to get them online with a non-scientific agenda, and they will batter and badge you as well. And then some of the ones who do see what's going on, that it's all a scam, they don't dare speak out, because part of the control is that when somebody does dare to refute something with actual facts and real science, their career comes to a screeching halt or some other sort of retaliatory behavior.
So let me get this right. Kurt Crosby is a birther, so he believes that the birth certificate of Barack Obama is bogus. Sam Bushman is a flat earther. He believes the world's flat there now. Now, Alan Phillips, he's one of them vaxxers. So he believes them vaccines are just a conspiracy against everybody. See, where they go with this is you can't even have an intelligent discussion because of the manipulated labels, the marginalizing of people. By the way, I don't believe the Earth is flat. I do believe, though, that gasoline is made from oil, and oil actually comes to the mantle of the Earth. It is made or created by the mantle of the Earth. It is not a fossil fuel. It doesn't come from bones. It's not bone broth for cars. Folks, it isn't true, and they're lying to you about that. Nevertheless, I find that interesting, and I really find that interesting when we debate tonight. We're going to have Tuesday's Democratic debate tonight in Iowa, and you got six people there. You got Joe Biden, Pete, whatever his last name is, Amy Klobuchar, and then you got Bernie Sanders, Tom Steyer, and Elizabeth Warren. Michael Bloomberg's not even going to be in it, because he's kind of late to the gate. But Michael Bloomberg says, I'm spending all my money to get rid of Donald Trump. Bloomberg says, I'd drop $1 billion to beat Trump, even if I'm not the nominee, he says. He says, I don't really agree with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, but I'd still support them, because compared to Donald Trump, it's a no-brainer. Got to get rid of the Donald. The candidate, by the way, is entirely self-funded. He's already burned through $200 million of his own money. And the Times notes that he's on a path to equal what Barack spent on the whole 2012 campaign. He's going to reach that spending level by March. Do you know how much money $1 billion is? Bloomberg, by the way, is worth about $57 billion. I mean, this is just crazy town. And then, you know, I kind of go, well, what's going on with this? And politics is just converted to money. But it dropped $1 billion to beat Donald Trump. And I look at this and I just go, and these are the people that we're supposed to trust. The people that have lied to us about the military for literally decades. The people that invested the military-industrial complex and literally murder around the world. The people that destroy babies. And all these facts we're supposed to take from them because, by golly, they got the scientists and the experts and all the professionals who know everything. And then they're going to put these people on a debate stage tonight to debate what? Socialism, Alan?
I don't know. I thought it was fascinating that Trump spent half as much as Clinton did and came out ahead, obviously spent his money more effectively. I think we've been in a world where money, you know, he who has the money makes the rules, as they say, for some time, but I think even more so and more so in more recent years and decades. And this will be really interesting. You know, it's like I don't have I have a TV, but I don't watch TV over cable or through the air, but I do watch a lot of YouTube videos. And just in the last few days, I can't pull up a video anywhere without getting a Bloomberg commercial. So clearly he is, you know, making a concerted effort, to put it mildly, to make some waves here. You know, Donald poses a huge threat to all these people, and it's so obvious when you look at, you know, 99% of what the Democrats have done for 3.5 years now has been attack Trump as opposed to acknowledge any of the successes he's had. Everything he does, whether it's good or not, they twist to make it bad. Why would somebody do that? This goes beyond the level of partisan bickering, of positioning purely to see which party is going to, you know, be in power in the next administration or not. I mean, clearly they are desperate to avoid something really serious, dark and ugly from coming out in the open. And I really think, you know, that's what the attacks on Trump have been about all along. To do something as ridiculous as, what was it, 2 or 3 years of Russian collusion, which came to nothing, to impeach a president when they haven't accused him of a crime, let alone provided any evidence for one, and yet this dominates the news for months. What would be the point of those kinds of behaviors? There's obviously something serious and dark and ugly that's at risk of being exposed, and I hope I'm right when I say that I end up being, you know, proven right. Because this goes beyond the level of just, you know, political, basic politics like we've seen in recent decades.
Well, let me throw you an irrelevant fact to throw you off the trail. Sanders takes lead as we head into Iowa tonight, by the way. Sanders is leading, buddy. Now, let me tell you the irrelevant fact here. GOP leadership says there are not 51 votes to dismiss articles of impeachment. Is that a fact?
Who knows, but I'll tell you.
No, I'll tell you it's not a fact. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they haven't voted. How do you know there's not a number of votes if you haven't voted? I'm kind of stupid. I'm one of those guys that can't understand science, and I might think the world could be flat, and I don't know if we went to the moon, and I'm against vaccinations. But if you haven't voted, how do you know you don't have the votes? Because we asked everybody, Sam. They told us they were going to vote against it or they weren't going to do it. What if they change their mind at the last minute? If we know, why even vote?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Hey man, stupid people like me on the radio talking common sense here. If they haven't had a vote, how do they know they don't have the votes, Alan?
You know, Sam, I heard...
We're just positive we know that we don't have the votes.
The most interesting explanation I heard for why Pelosi was delaying sending the articles to the Senate was that they were working to bribe people to get the votes they needed before they sent it over. In other words, it had to be rigged in their favor before they went forward. Because the last time they rigged things in a big way, which was the election, they lost anyway, despite some estimates say there were millions of illegal immigrants and dead people who voted Democratic in the last election. And despite that, they still lost. And so they're not going to go forward with anything else unless they can, you know, make sure the rigging is going to actually work this time. Now, I have no objective evidence as to whether anybody's been bribed or not, but clearly they didn't have the votes by the same method, you know, asking people. Clearly they didn't have the votes a little bit back. So if that has shifted and they have the votes now, and I agree with you, you don't know until you take the actual count. But if they do think they have the votes and then they go forward, you know, knowing that they've bribed people or whatever they've done to get the votes, that would be a, this is going to be a real interesting game to see how this plays out and what the response will be from people at different levels.
Now, here's why it's an irrelevant fact. I don't care if the earth is a disc or if it's round. It really makes no difference in my life. What's more important is that I know that I'm a child of God and he loves me and I'm his son and I have a godly heritage. And if I keep his commandments, he will bless me. That, to me, is a gazillion times more important than some of these other discussions. And so all knowledge isn't equal. But here's the point. I don't care if the GOP leadership believes they don't have the vote. They say they don't have the 51 votes to dismiss the articles. Here's the point. Whether they dismiss the articles or whether they entertain them or whether they call witnesses or whatever manipulated rules they put on the table, at the end of the day, they got to have two-thirds, 66, to convict. They're not even close, sir. So what we're talking about is a faux argument, a misplaced directive discussion in the first place. I don't care what you do. At the end of the day, you're going to have 66 people say yes, guilty, convict. And even if they get that done, he will have been impeached and convicted, but then they have to decide if they're going to throw him out of office or not. And then they got to decide, even if they throw him out of office, if there's any criminal activity that could be brought up for charges or not. That bar is set so high, they're not even close. So the fact that we don't have 51 to dismiss our articles of impeachment is almost an irrelevant discussion, except for they want to play games and manipulate you and tell you the earth is flat and we didn't go to the moon, and by the way, you're a vaxxer. Now shut up and go away. That's how these people operate, and it's sickening, and we need to change the game by electing people who care. And in Virginia, the battle's on, even if I am a vaxxer. Alan?
Well, the whole game is a manipulation game. It's almost secondary how it actually turns out. What they want to do is drag it out as long as possible and give themselves talking points in the next election. You know, so the bottom line here is one way or another, they got to get rid of Trump. If they can't actually get votes, impeach him and get him kicked out of office, the next best thing is to drag out the proceeding as long as possible so that as we get into the election, they can say, look, he's been impeached. He's this terrible, awful person. We've got to get a real president in there now, and so forth. It's all about manipulating public perception and because of that, manipulating people's behavior and actions in voting and otherwise. So what actually happens and whether they have the votes or not is almost beside the point. The question from the Democrats' point of view is, how do we manipulate public perception to get back in control or stay in control and so forth?
So what's going to happen with child vaccinations in Virginia?
Well, what's the story there? I thought you were going to actually go to the gun story, because they're talking about taking all Virginians' guns now.
Well, what if you're a vaxxer? What if you believe in that you don't want to take vaccinations? If they pass this gun thing, then you don't have a right to keep and bear arms, which is codified in the Constitution. Right now, the law says you have a right to keep and bear arms, and what they're trying to do is basically erode or obliterate that law. There is no law that talks about vaccinations except for their encroachment thereon. I submit to you, the second they take the guns, vaccines are next. No gun, forced vax.
Of course, the reason to take guns is so that people are defenseless and you can more easily impose any number of different agendas, vaccines being one of them. But I think it's fascinating. You know, I was talking to someone. I said, you know, what needs to happen is there needs to be gun rights people from all over the country flooding into Virginia so that it's just massively unrealistic in terms of the manpower they need. I know in Vermont several months ago they were talking about taking guns, and something like two-thirds of the state's police force said, we're not going to help with that. We're not going to participate. And they realized they didn't have the ability to enforce gun removal because nobody would participate with that. And so they dropped it. And I don't know what the deal in Virginia is. What are they going to do, bring in the National Guard? Or how would they, you know, propose to go door-to-door taking people's guns? And the story that I heard was that the governor was going to buy 10,000 body bags, and the gun rights activist said, yeah, get those body bags, but you're going to need them for your people, not ours. You know, if they really, Virginia or anywhere else in this country, if they really push to remove guns, I think you'll see, and I'm not happy about this at all in terms of the real world cost, but I think you would see a localized civil war. I don't think gun owners, I think some gun owners will hand over a gun before they'll, you know, have a gun fight, but I think others will band together in groups and defend their rights. And if gun owners from around the country flooded into the state, I think the state would back down, and maybe even without that. But I mentioned that to someone, and they said, well, Alan, actually, that's happening. There are people from around the country going into Virginia to sort of take a stand there. I don't want to see a civil war, Sam. That would be horrible. But I don't know. It's a real tough call. When the government goes to certain levels of extreme, they ask for, invite, or create extreme reactions. And I would certainly hope that government would back off of this nonsense about taking away our ability to protect ourselves. It's the very suggestion that a government might actually try to force that. That was the whole reason for the Second Amendment in the first place. The primary fundamental point of the right to bear arms is to protect ourselves from government corruption.
What do you say, Kurt?
Well, Sam, you know, like you said, in Virginia, where it looks like there's a pretty big gun battle going on. They've even got, I guess the NRA's even sent in, what do they call them, things to hold extra ammo or whatever, an emergency drop. But bottom line is your rights are under attack wherever you live, and you've got to stand up for freedom and liberty. And even if the battle was won before, if you don't do it now, your liberties are on the table.
Let me tie this all together. It sounds like I've been all over the map on this broadcast, and it sounds like I'm just off the rails crazy. But you know what? Really, what they're doing, in my opinion, to us, ladies and gentlemen, is they're basically turning the world upside down. And the British had to play that song when the Americans won the Great Revolution. They played a world turned upside down because they were so shocked that somebody could reject the superpower and literally live to tell the tale about it. Kind of a discussion. And I submit to you, we're facing a like-minded reality check today. And it may not be physical, but it certainly is spiritual. It certainly is mental. It certainly is moral. And what they're doing is turning the world upside down. They're calling good evil and evil good. They're calling right wrong and wrong right. They're taking a theory and calling it fact or hypothesis, and calling it fake or and everything but facts seem to be on the table. And facts, then what happens is when you put out facts, somebody says, well, I got alternative facts. And at the end of the day, whether it's vaccinations, whether it's your right to keep and bear arms, whether it's your right of conscience, which in my opinion is one of the greatest private property rights you have to believe what you want. If I want to believe the earth is flat and we never went to the moon and vaccines are horrible and Bill Clinton is evil. And you know what? This is America and I can believe that. Somebody could say that I'm wrong and they have every right to say that. But what I'm getting at, and by the way, half those things I don't believe. I'm just illustrating a point here, which is we need to step back from, in my opinion, the ledge that we're facing, which is if you don't believe as or go along with whatever the mainstream public opinion narrative is on a given topic, then somehow you need to be persecuted, prosecuted, et cetera, et cetera. And we need to stop this narrative and take a step back and say the genius of Americans is in our conscience, is in our mind, is in our heart, and has to do with the sacred cause of liberty. And they're chipping away at all this and deceiving the people into things that don't matter. Things that mattereth not, if you will. They're basically trapped in the thick of thin things is the way that I would describe it. They are literally always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Always debating, always on a quest to debunk, to create fear and panic and confusion. And we need to step back and replace it with faith and hope and charity and love and respect and appreciation, and I could go on. But at first, this broadcast might seem to have made no sense, but at the end of the day, I hope you tie it together and get it. How many people are willing to stand up and say, we've got to look elsewhere for solutions? We can't just double down on this hatred and this divide and this confusion and this, you never can know anything and there's nothing to hold on to, there's no stability. There is stability in good, honorable, moral things. There is stability in time-tested traditions. The fundamental unit of the society is the family. There is stability in those things that matter most. Alan, do you want to wrap up?
Sam, I couldn't agree with you more. And I, to me, it all ties back to, you know, the nonsense that you're describing. At one level, I believe is deliberate manipulation, and the manipulation, from the perspective of the manipulators, is required because their agenda is not one supported by science or ethics or morality or truth. And that's why they have to resort to all this nonsense. But we can overcome that if we first of all recognize that it's manipulation that's going on and call out the manipulation. When someone says, oh, you horrible parent, for not vaccinating your child and putting everyone at risk. One way to respond to that is to say, oh, well, look at all the truth about vaccines and science, statistics, and so forth, and you get bogged down into a disagreement where the final answer there is, well, the CDC says they're fine, so you're wrong. Or you can say, hey, look, everybody, notice how they just attacked me with an emotional smear and not with any real information. Call out the manipulation, and that's how we see through it.
And most importantly, ladies and gentlemen, you need to go to people who have genuine intent. Let me say that again. You need to go to people that have genuine intent. You may agree or disagree with me on all kinds of points or views. In other words, when I say I'm smarter than all the scientists put together because I am willing to admit when I don't know, you can laugh at me and say, Sam, your IQ is about 5. Good luck with that. But at the end of the day, we need to respect right of conscience. And most importantly, we need to give people the ability to think and believe as they choose. And the question is, who's asking honest, open questions? Who's fair in their assessments? Who admits when they don't know? And who's leading you to an open mind and to think for yourself and to come to the conclusions that make the most sense? You got to think through that in the media, ladies and gentlemen. God save the Republic.